Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Poehler, and my friend today is Teresa Sam Houghton, and Sam is going to be talking about eating disorders this morning. Sam, so you had sent me an email that says eating disorders is on the rise. So first of all, describe what an eating disorder is and how it's just proliferating the way it is.
Well, an eating disorder, it's a very broad scope. Most people have heard of what I often refer to as the two biggies, which is anorexia and bulimia, but we also have quite a bit of binge eating disorder on the rise. Binge eating disorder was actually officially recognized as an eating disorder when the desk reference for mental illness, the fifth one, came out. Prior to that, it had been lumped into a category that used to be called eating disorder not otherwise specified and is now called otherwise specified feeding or eating disorders. And underneath that will fall all of the eating problems that do not meet the clinical criteria for anorexia, bulimia, or binge eating disorder. So basically, an eating disorder at its core is a behavior toward food and eating that is not usual and that is harmful when exercised in the long term. And then more specifically, there are clinical criteria to officially diagnose people with specific disorders.
When you talk about binging, can you describe that?
Binge eating disorder?
Yes.
Well, that requires a bit of an explanation about the other two eating disorders. Now, a lot of people are very familiar with anorexia because it's the most visible form of eating disorder. It's the one where people will restrict food to the point where they lose excessive amounts of weight, where it can be deadly. I mean, some people get down to, like, they weigh 50 pounds. They literally have nothing but skin and bone. And some people don't get down that far, but they lose quite a bit of weight and it's not healthy. It also, all eating disorders involve a element of both fear and shame. And fear usually is either fear of gaining weight or fear of not being in control, which drives a lot of the behaviors. And then with bulimia, people will have some kind of trigger that will make them binge eat, which is eating what is considered to be a larger than normal amount of food in one sitting. Depending on the person, it may be smaller or larger, but it's usually quite a bit. If you read some books about eating disorders, there will be people who literally will eat the entire contents of their kitchen, but then they will go and compensate for it somehow. Some people will make themselves throw up. Some people will take laxatives. Some people will overexercise. And the two will tend to overlap. Binge eating disorder is where you will binge, but you do not have some kind of compensating behavior at the other end. So binge eating disorder can lead to a lot of weight problems, a lot of other health problems that are associated with weight gain. So it's not necessarily an eating disorder that people recognize as much. And I personally feel that that one is the one that has the most stigma and shame attached to it because of the fact that being overweight is such a stigma in our society, whereas on the other end of the coin, people have that ridiculous saying where you can never be too thin, which, of course, is not true at all.
Now, it seems as though, well, you had mentioned that eating disorders is on the rise. Is that because of the illusion in this country that a woman has to look beautiful and perfect? And nobody's ever perfect, so a lot of people just strive for that goal that never happens. Would you agree?
I think that that's part of it. There is an estimation that 24 million people in this country have either anorexia, bulimia, or binge eating disorder, and a quarter of them are men. So it's not just the perfect body thing for women. If you look, we now have, especially with a lot of this, the fitness stuff that's going on. Now, I am obviously not against the fitness movement. I think it's great to be in shape, but a lot of the hyper-focused stuff on sexing, I believe, men as well, because they are, whereas women are pictured as being ultra-thin and they have a perfect figure, men are pictured as being completely chiseled. They have a six-pack. They're lean. They, you know, they can lift entire cars. And these people will look at that and they will have same kinds of problems with that end. I think also we live in a very high-stress society, and in many cases an eating disorder can be a form of control because you can control what goes into or out of your body, but it is a very destructive form of control that can actually spiral completely out of control. So I think that it's a mixture of what we are presented with as how we're supposed to look, and also just the stress of how we're supposed to be, because like you said, nobody's perfect, but not only are we pushed to be physically perfect, we're pushed to be the teenager who does absolutely everything so they look good on a college application, the college student who's ready for the business world by their freshman year, the supermom, the six-figure dad earning all of the money. So we have all of these images that we are aspiring to that you really can't ever grasp. So I think people kind of fall into this trap where they think, well, if I do this, I'll be perfect and I can control this element.
So you were saying that there's other components to eating disorders besides anorexia, bulimia, and binge. Can you kind of talk about what the other problems are that people might not be aware of?
Well, it does all fall under that other specified feeding or eating disorder category. It's abbreviated OSFED. And what will fall under that is anorexics who do not lose enough weight to qualify as anorexic. They still have what would be considered a normal body weight for their height. Bulimia with a less frequent binge and purge cycle to qualify as a bulimic clinically. You have to purge, I believe it is at least once a week for 3 months. So if you don't do that, you could still have bulimia but not be clinically bulimic. Ditto with binge eating disorder. There's a specific amount of binging at least once a week for 3 months. It's the same thing. But if you don't do that, you can still have binge eating disorder. There is a disorder where people will compensate without actually binging. It's called purging, where they'll do something like take laxatives or throw up or something of that ilk. And there is actually a problem where people will eat large amounts of food at night. They call it night eating syndrome, and I think that's probably stress-related in my opinion. And there are other unusual behaviors, like, well, this is one I actually want to bring up because people get up in arms about this one. We are in a society, too, where we are bombarded by unhealthy choices but are expected to eat extremely healthy. So there's actually a pattern of eating. It's not an officially recognized eating disorder, but it is a pattern of eating. It's called orthorexia, where you become so hyper-focused on eating healthy and eating clean that you actually become afraid of being contaminated by foods that you consider are unclean. And it could be any food. It could be something that someone else would recognize as unhealthy, say a fast food hamburger, or it could just be something like, it could be something that other people would not recognize as unhealthy, like a graham cracker or a piece of dark chocolate. But if you are convinced in your mind that it's unhealthy and unclean, you actually become afraid of consuming it. And a lot of people will poo-poo this and say it doesn't exist and say that they're just trying to make people who eat healthy look bad. But this is different than that. It involves an element of avoidance and fear. So that's a biggie that I think people don't know about as much.
Now, let's talk about food. But let's talk about exercise. For people who are zealots about exercise and, you know, do it 2 or 3 or 4 hours a day rather than a half hour or an hour, if they do excessive exercise, even though it's not called eating disorders, but that does that fall under the same category as a little bit not too right?
Actually, over-exercising is a characteristic of many eating disorders. It's very common among people who also have food issues because they will. It's the same mindset. Unless you are somebody who's an athlete who's in training, who is doing this sort of thing for a training purpose and it has a focus that is a healthy focus, if you're just doing it because you're desperate to burn calories or you're desperate to attain that body image, it is the same mindset, and often the two will go hand in hand. They're very common, common companions. Over-exercising can actually qualify as a purging and bulimia.
Wow. So we're talking about specific eating disorders that are on the increase. Has the medical community taken notice, and what steps are they doing, if so?
Well, I don't think they're quite as on the ball as they should be, but there is a organization called the National Eating Disorders Association, and they are working to educate physicians and school administrators and anybody who might run across this as to recognize the signs and symptoms of these more readily, because they are not as recognized. And I think part of that is probably because doctors don't have as much time as they need to be able to evaluate. And also, since it's not just clinical, it's also psychological, there's a lot more going on. And the third problem is that these disorders also have that element of shame and secrecy, where somebody could have this wrong with them for a really long time and never talk about it, never get a single indication that they've got it. So it can be a very multi-layered problem, but the National Eating Disorders Association is working on raising awareness. They actually have a week every year at the end of February called National Eating Disorder Awareness Week, in which they encourage people to hold events and spread the word. They provide information for schools and educators, for physicians, to learn more about this.
When somebody who's in the public eye that has this problem, I remember Princess Diana was a bulimic. When somebody like that, you know, expresses, you know, the fact that she does have that problem or he does that problem, does that trigger more people developing those kinds of problems?
You know, I cannot say for certain whether it does or not, but personally, I feel that it's important if people have these disorders that they speak up, because a lot of people who have them feel like they can't talk about it because either they feel bad about it or they feel weird because of it, and it's a very lonely and isolated sort of disorder to have. So personally, as long as the person talking about it is not glamorizing it, as long as they're not trying to make it sound like some kind of good thing, as long as they tell it like it is and show it in the light it's supposed to be shown in, I think it's a good thing to talk about it, because more people need to know you are not alone and you need to speak up about this because it can kill you.
Yesterday, I was in the supermarket, and as I was waiting, I kind of like to check out like all of the newspapers and magazines and what the headlines are saying. And they're saying that Angelina Jolie is down to like 79 pounds. And I remember years ago there was a singer by the name of Karen Carpenter. She died of anorexia. So when you see people or know people who have this problem, you know, like with Karen Carpenter, I remember her brother making comments about it or statements. But, you know, when she died, I thought, oh, my God, there was no intervention from the family on that. So is that a common problem where people who have this, their family members don't recognize it?
Oh, I think that's extremely common, and I also think that when they do, they don't know what to do about it, or they recognize that something is wrong but don't know what it is, because, it is a very personal, very private sort of thing that people will go through. And also, I think sometimes, even if they do know what's going on, there's still this unfortunate mindset where, if you are anorexic, well, can't you just eat? And it's not that simple, because what it comes down to has next to nothing to do with food, and sometimes very little to do with body image. So people don't really understand the genesis of it or the underlying problems. And I think that when you do recognize that someone has this problem, or that even if you don't know that this is what it is, but you know that there's something wrong, you've got to talk to somebody, because the worst that could happen is the person gets angry at you for doing that, but the worst that could happen if you say nothing is this could kill them. So it's much better to be vocal about it and get some help, even if you don't necessarily understand why it's going on.
Now, in your case, Sam, you teach nutrition. If somebody came into your class that you realized had an eating disorder, would you take that person on the side and say, you need help, or contact a family member? How would you deal with that?
It would depend on what I recognized. If I recognized for what I considered to be a fact that they had the signs, like if they asked certain questions or behaved in certain ways, I tend to teach classes where we feed people. So there could be that could be a pretty big indicator right there. It's a difficult call to make, but if I notice that, I think what I would first do is just kind of talk to them and ask them if everything was okay, and just to kind of gauge where they were at mentally. And if I felt that they were a danger to themselves, then I would definitely contact somebody. Now, we're talking about this, and I figure it's probably time to be open. We're about halfway through the show. For a very long time, I suffered with body image issues myself, and got to the point for a couple of years in my early 20s where I was actually oscillating between what is called subclinical, where you don't qualify clinically as an eating disorder. I was oscillating between subclinical anorexia and bulimia, and just knowing what it feels like and knowing how difficult it is to get that help if you don't say anything, I tend to be very, very observant about these sort of things, and also very sympathetic towards anybody who's got it going on, because I've been there and I know exactly what it feels like, and it's not a good place to be.
So, when somebody has that kind of behavior, do they realize it's abnormal, or do they think, okay, I'm not going to, you know, eat, or I'm going to binge and purge? And after a while, when somebody has that problem, does it become normal to them?
I think it's normal from the start. I think it is the normal progression of something else that's going on. Like I said, for some people, it's a control thing. So maybe there's somebody who lives in a household where they are expected to be perfect, or somebody has always put them down for something, or there's something that, or just things that they feel like things are falling apart around them. And that is how it manifests. I mean, some people, when they have stress, they will drink, or some people will do drugs, and some people will do other things. But for people who have this tendency, and it tends to be people who are the type A personality, the more of a perfectionist kind of person who uses this as their kind of compensatory behavior, where that is how it winds up manifesting. It just makes perfect sense inside their head that this is what you're going to do. And what actually happens if you don't eat for a while in the anorexic end of things, you will actually stop feeling hungry and you begin to get a little bit of a high. And at first it will actually feel kind of good. So I think sometimes people get a kind of a head rush with that, and they think, oh, I can do this, this is easy. And then it becomes, I think it turns into an obsession. With binge eating and bulimia, it's not, there is no conscious choice to binge. You just start and you cannot stop. It's psychologically and physically impossible to stop. I've tried to explain this to some people before, because we all eat a little too much once in a while. It happens. But there is not that same element of, I cannot stop. I know I'm doing something wrong, but I cannot stop. So binging is not necessarily a conscious decision, more so, again, the emotional, psychological thing attached to it.
So for somebody that you see has a problem, what do people come up to you and say, I'm sure they don't, I have a problem, but what do you do in a situation like that?
Well, there are times when people do hit a point where they realize I do have it. Like I hit a point where I realized that what I was doing was, it doesn't happen for everybody. Some people, it takes them straight through to, unfortunately, to death. Actually, anorexia has the highest mortality of any mental illness, highest mortality rate, which is very sad, because with anorexia, you don't necessarily just die from not eating. You can die years later from the complications that develop from periods of not eating, which is something that's very important to consider, too, because all of these have associated physical complications other than being either over or underweight. There will be, for some people, a point where they do realize that they have an issue, and the best thing to do when you do that is to go find somebody and talk to them, somebody that you trust, and say, you know, this is what's going on, what can I do? And there are, you got to look for them, but there are programs for rehabilitation and recovery of this, and it's usually involved multiple different medical professionals and the entire family to help it really, really resolve on all levels.
So, Sam, in our closing moments, why don't you just kind of like sum up the problem and spell out what kind of help people can get?
Well, there are actually, it depends on how bad it is. Sometimes it can be, well, put it to you this way. Let's see if I can just do a little rundown of some of the medical complications, because if you get far enough into any of these disorders, you will need an actual medical help. In a lot of cases with anorexia, the first step is you actually have to go into a hospital and regain weight, because people who get extremely thin, you begin to develop risks for things like heart problems, because your electrolytes are out of balance. That's a biggie with bulimia too, especially with the purging. You can become so thin that your body actually begins to grow white hairs on itself in an effort to stay warm, and you can start to have other organ problems. With bulimia, you can actually rupture your esophagus. You can screw up your entire digestive system and rot your teeth. So, and with binge eating disorder, obviously, all of the problems that we associate with being overweight are very common with binge eating disorder. So one of the first steps is usually you wind up having medical intervention of some kind to correct those problems. But at the same time, psychological intervention is necessary because you have the multiple layers of the shame and the fear and whatever triggered it going on. And it really depends on the disorder. There are actually some across the country, there are some resident programs where you actually go and you stay there and they help you to overcome your fears of different kinds of food and your control issues and the emotional and psychological problems that are behind it. And there are also outpatient programs. I believe there actually is one in Albany. I wish I could remember what hospital does it. I would have to look that up. But it has the multiple elements. It's got to be something that's multi-layered because this is not just a medical problem.
You know, you and I have discussed this before on other programs with the amount of sugar in foods that we eat. You know, if people purchase, you know, processed foods or they like processed foods, they're getting a lot of stuff that they don't realize they're eating. So with the proliferation of processed foods, has it been also a proliferation as a reaction to processed foods, more eating disorders?
I wouldn't say so. I think we have more bad eating habits, but I don't think it has much to do because it's not, when you come down to it, it's not the food. Now, there is food addiction, which is not necessarily falling under, that's a different issue. And I would say that food addictions have definitely been driven by what's in processed food. But eating disorders, so much so, they are much more of a psychological and emotional than something that actually has to do with food. The focus is food, but it isn't the catalyst. However, like I said, food addiction, I would definitely say yes to that.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, Sam, thank you so much for talking about eating disorders and focus on Albany. And, of course, we'll be talking in the future. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. And if you have any questions or comments about today's show, go to #FocusOnAlbany on Twitter at JFR. Sam, have a wonderful day. And thank you, everybody,
you too,
for listening.